Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
How are we today?
Oh, so great.
It's so great to be in our little house, isn't
it? I know.
It?
I could really get used to this.
Yeah.
We're sitting in the gallery. The room is filled with sun. Somebody made me a latte.
Oh, I was just about late getting on the air here because I was having my happiness moment.
Yes.
And actually, I have a thing. If you ever checked out what you, what really gives you daily happiness...
I try.
Well, making a latte gives me happiness.
It's on your list.
It is. It's like a 9-minute process, but it's a routine, a ritual that I love.
Yes.
I love the result.
Yes.
I had to start today with a latte.
Oh, lovely. That makes me happy. So that's today's topic, is the art of happiness.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, actually, because the arts and happiness are connected.
Mm-hmm.
They always have been, but what's really happening is that people are recognizing it.
That's right.
Actual scientific studies.
I know, it's a thing now.
It's a thing.
Right? Because you know why?
Why?
Because the government and the business community have said, hey, there's this thing called happiness. We should really look into that. And it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are businesses who are measuring the metrics of happiness. And they know that it leads to a healthier workforce and a happier workforce, therefore more productive workforce, which means more profit.
More profit.
Yes, and government is also recognizing that it's not necessarily about fixing the problems. It's about establishing the route to well-being and joy and happiness. Mm-hmm. In fact, the government of Bhutan has a national happiness index.
Oh, I've heard about the happiness index.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of countries seem to be actually trying to measure it.
Exactly. And I was reading a little bit about they went from a kingdom to a democracy. But they didn't get to democracy through war and conflict. They got through from a kingdom to a democracy because the king decided that the power of the nation rested with its people. So their path to happiness has been far easier, you know, far less. Yeah.
Right. With
happiness can come at a cost. But once we recognize the benefits of it, and as I say, because now business and government is saying, oh, hey, this happiness thing, there might be something to it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm all about things that make me happy.
Right.
And that doesn't make me selfish, but I think it makes me a healthier person, a better mom.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm better at my business because I've embraced things that make me happy.
Yes.
Yes. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
And we're surrounded by happy things. Our community art here at the gallery, done by local students. I mean, it's incredible. You see a lot of joy in these paintings.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So let's talk about what happiness actually is.
Yes.
Because I was listening to this Buddhist monk who used to be a Frenchman.
Yes.
Have you heard this guy?
Converted to...
Yes.
How could you not be happy as a Frenchman? All that bread.
Well, what he was saying was that the French don't be happy. They don't want to be happy. They just want to be passionate.
Oh, I see.
They recognize the sort of the deep ups and downs of life.
Oh, la la.
Yeah.
Yes. They do love the drama, don't they?
Yeah. But what he was saying is that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And the well-being is that sense of serenity and fulfillment that is inside of you.
Yes.
That's what he's saying happiness really is. And happiness rides out all the other emotions. So you can be sad, you can be angry, you can be all those things, and you can still be happy.
Yeah, because you can be so happy you cry.
Yes.
Right?
That's
tears
right.
Tears of joy.
Yeah.
It's about that. The flow of that emotion.
Yeah.
Because happiness is also about flow.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so you can imagine happiness and the way that we measure our own happiness as an ocean. And the waves and the storms or the calm or whatever's happening on the surface is happening. It's absolutely valid. But beneath the ocean, that's where the depths of your happiness
is. Yes, it's true. And in fact, author Mark Anielski from Edmonton, who wrote The Economics of Happiness, we've talked about him before.
Yeah.
He calls himself a recovering economist. He always talks about riding the wave of joy.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is not language you normally hear from.
From an economist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a recovering economist.
But, recovering.
And so here we are at the gallery today, live on location, riding the wave of joy, talking about happiness. And there's a science, so there's happiness by design, there's happiness through the arts, which we'll talk about as we move ahead in the show, but there is a science of happiness and what happens to your brain when you're happy.
Yes.
So, for example, when you laugh or you giggle, you know, when you giggle so hard, your tummy hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's happening there is you're getting a workout.
Well, that's good news to me.
Yes, because we do a lot of laughing here, don't we?
We do.
It's not a very, people think the gouge is very serious.
It's no, not very we're not serious. Very serious. Not we laugh all. A lot.
Yes,
it's okay.
We laugh every day.
Yeah.
Most of the day, in fact. And so what happens is you, when you laugh, you bring more oxygen into your body.
Yeah.
And it takes, I read, 25 to 80 muscles for a good belly laugh.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Would rather laugh than do sit-ups.
Well, yeah, me too.
Yeah, because I don't do sit-ups.
No.
No.
Sit-ups hurt your back. Laughing doesn't hurt your back.
Yeah, it also reduces your blood pressure. It's just generally also dealing with pain. It helps you. Laughing reduces the sensation of pain.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and there's the whole healing aspect of happiness is huge.
Mm-hmm. And indeed, the arts, Healthy Communities, which is an initiative of Interior Health, is putting a lot of emphasis on healthy communities, happiness, and how the arts can help heal.
Yes. And that's a very exciting field,
mm-hmm.
and it's finally getting some recognition. It's not a peripheral, like an extra add-on, only if you can afford it kind
no,
of thing.
No, exactly.
It has become an integral part of health programming and healing.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And
we
talked about the five levels of participation. There mm-hmm. isn't one that every demographic can't participate
exactly.
in. So you can be a hospital patient and still be able to participate in the arts.
Oh yeah. So there's actually there's like 100 books out there.
Oh yeah.
Within the last couple of years mm-hmm. about the arts and healing, but one of the things that it does is distract you from your illness.
Yes.
The arts is a full-on, like, pull your mind away, engage your mind in such a way that you forget you're in pain.
Yeah.
You forget that you're ill. You forget all the things that are going
like
on in your
physical
body.
It's like emotional Tylenol.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's cheaper.
It's way, way cheaper.
Yeah.
That's right.
And of course,
it doesn't hurt your liver.
Yeah, that's also kind of an important long-term effect.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, so of course, we see reductions in stress and anxiety through the arts and reduced depression.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually, like, depression comes as a secondary condition with a lot of a lot of illnesses,
and
right?
there's the chemical, the chemicals in your brain, like dopamine is so important.
Oh,
I couldn't
dopamine.
Get through my life without a good
dopamine.
Dose of dopamine.
We've talked about dopamine before, and we probably should talk about it every single show
mm-hmm.
because it really is what we all strive for.
And when it floods to your frontal lobes, thank you, TED Talks. I learned a lot about this on TED Talks. It opens up your mind to possibilities that you didn't see before.
Wow.
Now, you can't spend your whole time high on dopamine because you never get anything done because you're so, that feeling where you're so full of energy and you're totally going to rock this and it's awesome and then you run out and you're completely exhausted. So be high on dopamine all the time.
It's exactly like the whole happiness thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can't be happy all the time.
No.
We can't have the emotion of happiness all
mm-hmm.
the time. So what we're talking about is that
it's the range.
Yeah.
Like you can't be in ecstasy all the time.
Yeah.
You can be
somewhere
be angry
all the time.
Comfort and contentment. Up and down the scale.
Oh, yeah, that scale. I saw the scale.
Yes.
I like the scale.
There's a good scale.
The scale starts at comfort.
Yes.
So that's actually your lower level happiness.
Mm, that's like cozy on the couch watching a show or hugging your, or petting your cat. Or,
And contentment is next up after that. So that's really a sense of being aware of what was making you happy around you. Joy,
bliss.
Well, no, then delight.
Oh, delight.
Yeah. And then bliss.
And then bliss.
Bliss is the top of the happiness.
Yes.
Thing. So you can kind of, if every time you feel that sense of happiness, I don't know, if you like to analyze things, you can kind of figure out where you are on the scale.
Exactly.
Is this contentment? Is this comfort? Or
mm-hmm.
can I head towards delight and bliss?
Yes. And back down and up and down again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, the other thing about happiness is it doesn't discriminate.
Yeah.
Right?
Anyone can do it.
Anyone can do it. And they've done studies that show that it's not based on height or weight or health or income or location.
Yeah.
Right? It's not. You can be happy anywhere.
Yeah.
Right? Because we all have within us the
The
physiological capability.
And
that's why it's a choice.
That's right. I mm-hmm. tell my kids that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Every day that you wake up, you choose to be happy.
Yes.
And you have to make the choice
mm-hmm.
because you can certainly choose to be miserable, right?
Oh, yeah. That's super easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why not make the choice to be happy instead?
So there's a business guru. Well, he's a guru now, but he used to be just a guy who liked to be happy, who talks about 6 exercises you can do to be more happy.
And I want to hear this.
His name is Sean Aker. He's from the States, and he talks to businesses and colleges and universities and institutions about happiness.
Is this the guy who talks about like happiness being on the other side of success being a problem, like that we look at it from backwards?
Yes, if you look at it from a different point of view. And he has a TED Talk that's absolutely hilarious.
He is so brilliant. Yeah, what a good speaker that guy is.
But the one thing that he stood out for me is it's all in how you look at it. If you change the way you look at things, you change the way things look.
Yeah. Right?
That's not his. It's not mine either. Someone else said that, but I'm happy to use it. So he talks about how when we talk about wellness, we'll often say weight loss, exercise, mental health, right? So we always put that negative spin on it. So we're not talking about happiness. We're talking about the opposite of happiness.
Well, like,
and we call it wellness.
I know, like the kids, the kids have wellness week and their workshops are about bullying and risky sex.
That's not a wellness week.
That's not wellness week. That's sickness week.
Exactly. Yeah. And then he talks about... he spoke at a private school and he said, oh, by the way, your wellness week is not a wellness week. It's an illness week. And I guess he didn't like that very much.
No, of course not.
Yeah. So he says a few of the things you can do is an exercise in gratitude to write three things down that you're grateful for. Maybe we want to try that later. Then to take one positive experience from the past 24 hours and spend 2 minutes writing it down.
Yeah, journaling.
Yeah,
lots absolutely. Of people journal, and I think it's an important step because of the focusing on the positive thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Because the interesting thing that he said in his talk is that your brain relives that moment.
Yes.
And so you're having another positive experience in your day.
Exactly. And that's how, you know, people remember things if they write it down, or at least for me. You know, like if you ask me what I did in 1984, you know, in December, chances are I'll remember because I used to write everything down. Not like Dear Diary, just more like went to the movies with so-and-so, right? Yeah. And it becomes a permanent fixture in your brain.
Yeah.
Then he calls it the fun 15. Do 15 minutes of fun cardio. It could be gardening or walking your dog. And cardio is as good for you as an antidepressant. Then to take time to meditate. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean, you know, Om and the yoga mat and all the fancy gear. Just sort of sit quietly and reflect. And then to do one nice thing for someone else.
Yeah.
Isn't that lovely?
Random acts of kindness.
Yes, yes.
The giving, right? Mm-hmm. Like that comes up again and again. The more you give, the happier you feel.
And you feel so good. Hey, your hair looks nice today. Or well done on that presentation. Or whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
And then the final thing is to deepen social connections. Mm. So the depth of our social connections are the best predictors for success, health, and even life expectancy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to be happy and live longer,
that's right.
Follow his advice.
I think so.
And
his, among others, you know, there's many thinkers, and they've been talking about happiness since the caveman, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And I mean, we've gotten into a bit of a rut here in our society, right?
Maybe.
One of the things that I've heard, and maybe it was him that mentioned it, is when you turn on the news, you get murder, strife, war,
watch Buffalo burn down disasters. On Channel 4.
Yeah, and so our brain starts to think that that's the ratio of good and bad, or good, you know, the horrible things to the bad things. Or to the good things in the world. So we're not getting an accurate picture of what the world really is made up of. And so when we do these things that he's suggesting, it's like we're rewiring our brain. We have to rewire it in order to find our way to happiness.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the rewiring is done for us through the media.
And it's not, you know, perception is reality.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And we're so happy to be here at our lovely art gallery.
Yeah. Yes. Sam and Arm Art Gallery, located at 70 Hudson Avenue Northeast.
That's right.
Brent thought it was 80, but I don't think you can find an 80 on this street.
Hmm.
We are very...
Have fun trying.
Yeah. We are quite happily located next to the old courthouse. Mm-hmm. There's only two brick buildings on this block. We are one of them. Once upon a time, covered in Virginia creeper. Thank goodness the lovely heritage specialist came to town that one day and said, oh my gosh, if you want to have a building in 20 years, you better get rid of that creeper. So we chopped it down. And now you can see the very beautiful building that it was meant to be.
I know, it was quite a shock.
It was a shock to a lot of people. And in fact, we had some hate mail.
Oh, that's not very happy of them.
It was not happy. And I actually was really shocked. There were people that, and actually there was one lady that came in who was in tears. She was so unhappy with the change here.
Aww.
So, but when I explained that the mortar was disintegrating from the suction cups of the Virginia creeper and that we wouldn't have a building in 20 years if
yes.
we didn't get rid of it, she was okay when she left. But we had lots of people that were very alarmed at the change.
Unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to say when you're not happy too, right?
Well, it absolutely mm-hmm. can be. If you get it out there, sometimes it's almost like grieving, right? It's like you have to express it in order to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hold it in, you're just going to...
Oh, no, that's not very good. Don't do that.
No.
Don't hold it in.
However, it's important to not completely unload your issues on other people who are otherwise happily going about their business trying to do the right thing. So it's a good balance to
yes.
know.
Yeah, and so that's an example of how good design makes people happier.
Yes.
Certainly helped this building. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a very well-designed building,
mm-hmm.
and it's been thoughtfully designed ever since.
Yes.
Like everything from the monthly exhibitions.
Including removing the Virginia creeper.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and what we learned last week or the week before was about good design is logical and
mm-hmm.
you don't really notice it.
Mm-hmm.
Bad design sticks out like a sore
yes.
thumb.
Yes. Well, yeah, there's a blogger online called the 99% Invisible, and he talks about how good design is invisible.
Yeah.
And that's why we don't always recognize how important it is.
Yeah.
But ultimately, pleasant things make the world work better.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so...
So there's a guy that was talking about happiness by design.
Yes.
On TED Talks, too.
Yes.
TED Talks is such a fantastic source of research, I tell you.
Yes.
And we don't even have to do anything. We just have to watch these guys.
No. So he talks about a number of things. One of them is how we have a visceral reaction to things. It's unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
But we know unconsciously what is a good, what is well designed and what isn't well designed.
Yeah.
We also have behavioral responses, which is also subconscious. And we need to connect with our emotion to better understand the world, and good design helps you better connect to
mm-hmm.
emotions, right?
Yeah.
So it's about it things being intuitive.
Yeah.
So sometimes we know that, well, this doesn't make sense. It's not right. I should switch it up, or needs to be fixed, or
mm-hmm.
right. It's kind of the difference between a Mac and a PC, really.
Yeah,
right. Because the Mac is so carefully designed.
Yeah,
it's invisible, but it is more intuitive than a PC and the mm-hmm. blue screen of death and all that stuff. And then design is reflective. You know, you sort of go, oh, I do feel better because of that. And it's everywhere. It's how you get on the bus, or how your coffee maker works, or mm-hmm. how the newspaper is designed, or, you know, these are not, so many people say, oh, it's a matter of opinion. It's not really a matter of opinion.
No.
No.
No, there are rules.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you follow the rules,
mm-hmm.
then everything's smooth sailing.
Yes, and you make design decisions.
Yeah.
Every day, and you know, and ultimately happiness is by design.
Mm-hmm.
How you design your work day, how you design your workspace, how you design... Even how you design your dinner,
yeah,
you know, yeah,
and thinking about your happiest moments in your life,
mm-hmm.
you can relate those to things that are designed,
mm-hmm.
right? Like sometimes the happiest moment is the birth of your child,
yes,
which isn't really well designed, I might point out,
mm-hmm.
but other times it's, for instance, like this guy on his motorcycle that his brother lent him with his brand new Walkman. It's 1980,
yes,
right? A well-designed little Walkman, and that he had no helmet laws to deal with in the
and
countryside.
And he was listening to the police.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so three of his four parts of that experience were by design,
mm-hmm.
and were part of the design.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, if you really think about it, like I said, you don't necessarily always want to be analyzing
no.
these things. But mm-hmm. if you think about it, design has such a big influence on our happiest moments.
It does.
And think, you know, like think back to some of yours and
mm-hmm.
maybe it's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is your first car,
mm-hmm.
which was designed.
Yeah.
And why was it your favorite car ever?
Why?
Yeah.
Why? Right? Exactly. And so this 99% Invisible blogger always talks about how people have thought so much about things that we never think about, like postal codes.
Yeah.
That is an incredibly well-designed system
yeah.
that someone put a lot of careful thought into, and we take it for granted.
Yeah.
Because we never know, whoever thinks about that?
Yeah.
Like Dewey Decimal System, whoever thinks about that? That was designed.
You do.
Yes, I do. But, you know, it makes people's lives easier and
mm-hmm.
better and more pleasant.
Yes.
And there's another guy on TED Talks who talks about how designers create a sweeter environment, which I just thought was lovely.
Oh, that is nice.
Right?
I like it.
Yeah.
Huh.
So we're in a pretty sweet environment right
we
here.
We are in a sweet environment. And I want to point out, too, that that one fellow that was talking about data.
Yes.
And the cult of the average. That was so interesting.
Ooh,
so
the cult of the average.
I know. That's good. And what he was saying is when you've got a graph and people are expressing you know, reactions to certain kinds of questions, and you'll see a little clustering of things as they're, you know, as the data is collected, and then you see these little blips outside of the cluster.
Yes.
And he's saying for scientists, those are, that's like wrong
an
data
abnormality.
Or something. Yeah. Yeah. So you just want to get rid of that because it's messing with your data.
Yes.
But in fact, those people are the outliers.
Yes.
Right. They're the creatives.
Mm-hmm.
They're thinking differently. And if we want to get away from the cult of the average and stop designing programs and education systems and everything for the average, we have to study those outliers. We have to study those people that are outside of that cluster and say, we want to raise our standards to them rather than trying to cluster it all around the average.
Right. Yeah, right. It's about finding extraordinary in the ordinary.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, our school systems not exploiting the best possible happiness, artistic,
not yet,
creative things.
It's coming.
Do you think so?
I really do. I think this whole, I think the art and science and design of happiness, and then just the sheer bottom line of happier people, happier population, makes, you know, changes a lot of equations. It's really expensive equations.
Well, I know. I mean, that's the thing now, is everything is about the bottom line.
Yeah.
But when you can prove that something is actually quite a lot cheaper and works better, then, why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
But change is scary, right?
Of course. Well, yeah, but that's saber-tooth tiger thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're built for. We haven't had enough time to evolve outside of that.
Yeah. Oh, it's a stress hormone again. What is it? Ah, why
cortisol.
Do I always... Cortisol. Yeah, it's cortisol versus dopamine.
Yeah, yeah, it's a constant struggle.
The rematch, yeah. But no, so they definitely, if you're looking at, say, government budgets, and we've talked about this before, but healthcare is 50% of the provincial government's cost.
Yeah, that's crazy. So they better start talking about
super big number
happiness and healing. And so actually this probably relates to that guy too, who talked about happiness and success, that we're looking at this all backwards.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to think that we'll be happy once we've gained the success.
Yes. So success, happiness is the outcome of success.
Right.
Actually, success is the outcome of happiness.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I found it so interesting. His words were so amazing. We're going to have to put up a link or something to his talk, because he talked so fast, it could barely pull it together.
He does talk fast.
Yeah. But he talked about how happiness, we're putting happiness over the cognitive horizon.
Okay.
Isn't that amazing?
I know.
Like, isn't that brilliant?
Yeah.
And it's because there's always something else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I'll lose weight and then I'll be happy.
Yes.
I'll meet my sales quota and then I'll be happy. But there's always something else beyond that, right? There's another sales quota. There's more weight to lose. There's more, you know, I want my hair to look different, right? There's always something else.
Yes.
And so we don't actually achieve happiness on the other side of success. So his talk was really about reversing it.
Yes.
And choosing positivity.
Yes.
So I loved that he called it the happiness advantage.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So when you're positive in your outlook, you have a better chance of success. You have better productivity. You have better relationships. Like, everything happens because of the positivity. It's not the outcome of the of the success. So
that's right.
I love that. It's a real flip.
Success,
and for a lot of us who have been trained to be goal-oriented, that's a hard switch to make.
When you change the way you look at things, you change the way things look.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's another brilliant one.
Well, as I say, it's not mine.
But again, happy to use it.
Yes. Happy to use it.
Yeah.
And so, I bet you they would be happy for me to use it.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. So the other, one of the things too that you mentioned about how your brain processes the world, he also talks about how 90% of happiness comes from how you process the world. Only 10% is attributed to your actual environment.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, just being happy in this space is only about 10% of what makes us happy.
Yes.
90% is how we process it.
Oh.
So you can come into this space and look around and say, yeah, there's a lot of creative work here, a lot of expression, but it's your choice, right? It's how you choose to process it. You could turn around and say, there's a lot of dark work here. There's a lot of, you know, inner searching, you know, teenage angst, and, you know, it's all about how you look at it. It's all about how you process it.
Yes.
You can say that about every single environment, your workplace, you know, in school,
your family life.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's you processing it.
Yes.
It's not the external.
And it is a mental discipline.
Yeah.
You know, It's yoga for the brain to choose happiness.
But how many times have you heard somebody say, oh, that person's made me mad, or that person, or that thing, you know, that car,
yeah,
whatever.
That's interesting, because I find you can only be irritated with people when you recognize that in yourself. Like, how could you be irritated with someone else's actions if you don't recognize it within yourself?
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes that says more about you than,
yeah,
right? It's that whole Peter Paul. What you say about Paul actually relates more to Peter, who's saying it, than Paul.
Whenever you're having a reaction to somebody, just consider them a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you're looking into a mirror, then figure it out in yourself.
Yeah. It's so, and then in terms of design, all I would say is, if you really think about happiness, then all of a sudden fonts and colors and shape and size take on a great more, much more meaningful a part of your life. So what you decide to wear, or what you decide to read, or the books you decide to buy, or the posters you respond to, I mean, that's all part of your choice. Mm-hmm. So in design, my goal is not to sell more stuff, is to make people happy.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's a big difference.
It is.
It wasn't like that.
You're kind of an outlier.
Years ago.
You know?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And I know my clients always sort of frown at me like, what do you mean make people happy? I'm trying to sell some stuff. I'm like, yeah, but if you don't, they're not happy to see you, they're not going to buy your stuff. So let's do this. Right?
Yeah.
So we've worked on logos that make people happy. And and they last. And the ones that don't last.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's right. We're talking about the art of happiness on location at Salmon Arm Art Gallery.
Our happy place.
It's our happy place, and it's a lot of people's happy place.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's one day I still have this note tucked, taped into the inside of one of our cupboards.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it was by one of our volunteers who was here on a Saturday, and she just listed all of the amazing things that were happening in a moment, people laughing, the sun's shining in, and kids were making stuff, and she said it's just the perfect place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, I've just kept it because it reminds me every day of why we do this.
Why we do this.
Yeah.
To make people happy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so speaking of the arts and happiness.
Yes.
Here's my joyous moment.
Riding the wave of joy.
Yeah.
All right, go chase.
Okay, now I have lots of moments of joy. It's fine. Like, and we can get very personal, but a moment of joy comes sometimes when you find research to support your theory.
Yes, indeed.
I love good research.
Yes.
I love being able to say, no, I can prove that.
Mm-hmm.
Because my family is one of those, you know, when you say, I heard, blah, 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 they like, where did you hear that? Yeah. And so you better remember.
Who said?
Yeah. And you better be able to reference that properly. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was David Suzuki in 1979. And Okay. Mm. So anyway, I found a researcher, McCarran, who actually wrote a Chatelaine article was written about this guy's research. But so it's a very condensed version. I'm simplifying. He has discovered, well, I'm sure that other people have discovered this, but he has published research that says that the six top happiness-inducing activities are, and I'll list them in a second, but four of the six are arts-related. Hmm. Okay, so are you ready to hear the six?
I'm ready to hear the six.
Okay, the six. Did I say six?
Yes, you did. Freudian slip.
So number one is sex. Number one, the number one thing, happiness-inducing activity is intimacy and sex. Number two, sports and exercise.
There you go.
Yeah. Number three, theater, dance, and attending concerts.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. And number four, singing and performing.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, attending museums, libraries, and exhibitions. And number six is doing your own arts, crafts, and hobbies.
Aww.
Yeah.
See? Four out of six.
Four out of six happiness-inducing activities are arts.
Maybe we should rename the gallery to the Happiness Center.
The only thing you can't do here is sex and exercise.
No. Well, you could exercise.
You could move around a little bit.
The bicycle show, we had a stationary bicycle.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, so we could do five of the six things here.
We could do five of the six.
Okay, not... And yoga, that's right.
Oh, yes. That's where I first did yoga, was here in this
building.
Wow,
yeah.
It's lovely.
Okay, so there you go. If you need any more proof than that, mm-hmm. I don't know what it could possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
That arts make you happy.
And it's true. I mean, just think about your favorite pieces, how happy. they make.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And in fact, like, because we don't focus on sales here at all, but sometimes some of the work here is available for sale. And people talk to me about whether or not they want to purchase something, mm-hmm. and because they have to think about it. And I tell everybody who's considering a purchase of artwork, if you are in love with it, if you cannot stop looking at it, mm-hmm. and it just fills you with something that you can't quite put words to,
yes,
which is probably happiness.
Yes, dopamine.
Then that's the key.
Yes.
If it doesn't do those
things. No, no. Even if it's
no,
like a Lauren Harrison doesn't do anything for you,
yeah.
buy it.
Nope.
No.
Nope, because no. you really do want to surround yourself with things that make you happy.
Yeah.
You don't want to do anything because it was an investment mm-hmm. or because your friend said it was a good buy mm-hmm. or, you know.
Everything. Or because it matched your couch.
Don't do it because it matched your couch, please.
I know. I told you that story, right? I was in a gallery one day and I think I was in. I went to New York City by myself one time for like a week because I was meeting up with my parents. Anyway, so I went to MoMA and I was sitting in front of the Jackson Pollock and I must have been, I don't know, time kind of stopped. I just sort of stood there in awe looking, seeing, I'm like, oh, hey, there's a footprint. Wow. But there's a thing, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, this woman walked by and said, well, I wouldn't put that over my couch.
Oh my God.
And I was so close to saying, I don't think he would have wanted it anywhere near your couch. Right? We always think about it in terms of what it can do for us, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, if he could come back, he'd say, yeah, not going
no,
near your couch.
No,
yeah.
Don't want you to have it above your flowered couch.
Right. So, but you buy, you know, it's if it gives you joy,
yeah,
that's what it is about. And we talked about this, too, curating a life where if it's not useful and it doesn't bring you joy, don't do it.
No. Because then that's just clutter.
Yeah, and even in marketing, there's only two things you can sell. Do you know what they are?
What?
A solution to a problem or a good feeling.
Well, there you go. That's what else do we really want in this world?
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
If you can break it down into just those two.
Those two things. Now, if you can sell something that has both of those components, you're good to go.
Golden.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. So, and it filters down into everything. And I think that's why the business community is going, huh. Maybe there is something to this, right?
Finally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if you have a wellness program at the office, please don't make it about illness and call it wellness. Really make it about wellness, happiness. Yeah. So, and there are, you know, like even I know there are some city councils that are exploring the idea of community happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Mark Anielski is doing consulting work with city councils to help them understand, right?
Yeah,
and how to be happy here.
Yeah, and support programming that's already doing those things.
And I, in many ways, that's how I see my work. How can we be happy here?
Yeah. Well, it's actually pretty easy.
Yeah.
I mean, Salmonar.
Oh yeah.
It's
I know.
Pretty awesome.
But place, it's what informs your decisions.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And of course, not about how can we be economically powerful.
I know.
Right.
Well, again, it's all about balance, right?
It is.
After having that conversation last week mm-hmm. about the NDP win in Alberta.
Yeah, it's just about flipping, right?
Yeah.
Happiness is not an outcome.
Yeah.
It's a path to success.
That's right.
Yeah.
And positivity is mm-hmm. your happiness advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So stay positive.
Mm-hmm.
Look at everything as though it's a positive mm-hmm. thing. And changes everything.
If on your path you might find some cranky people who call you a Pollyanna or a, you know, whatever.
Just brush it off. Be the duck.
And help them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. So can I talk about Rat Park?
Yes.
I love the Rat Park experiment. Have you heard about it?
I have briefly.
Because I actually first heard about it on CBC a while ago, but it's actually, it's an old experiment. It's like 1979 or something. And the guy that I heard on CBC was actually talking about it in relation to the Vietnam veterans that were coming home. And like something like 50% of the soldiers in Vietnam were using heroin while they were there. And they were
I would have too.
Yeah. Well, and that's just the thing, right? Yeah. They came home and they thought they'd have this enormous drug addiction problem to deal with, and they didn't.
Hmm.
It's like 2% of vets returning home that were using heroin actually were addicted. So that was the big experiment. But what they learned from that was that maybe
how addiction doesn't form addiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Rat Park experiments were actually done at Simon Fraser University mm-hmm. in BC here, which is lovely. And it was... they offered a rat two water bottles. One is laced with opiates, morphine, and one is just plain water. And the rat chose morphine, right? Again and again and again. because there's really nothing going on in his cage. Yes. Right? He's got nothing to do.
And life is empty.
Yeah. Yes. And so then they had a rat park where it was 200 times the space. It's a pleasant environment. There were other rats there.
Were there bike paths?
No, there were no bike paths, but there were rats they could have sex with.
There you go.
Because intimacy is number one, right?
Yeah.
And so they could raise their litters and have families, and there was toys, and there was food, right? There's Rat Park. And then they offered the same thing, two water bottles, one with opiates, one with plain water. And guess what? They did not choose the opiates. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did occasionally, but there was no addiction. There was no dependency on it. So they learned from this that our environment...
So happiness is stronger than...
Yeah,
morphine.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so when you surround yourself with things that make you feel content, comfort, joy, bliss, that's what fulfills you.
Yes.
And you don't actually tend to become addicted to the things that are artificially elevating your dopamine levels.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how strong happiness is.
It is. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And we're not talking about pleasure, because that was the other thing that the monk talked about. I thought was really interesting. He said, you know, pleasure is happiness in short and like in small doses, like the chocolate cake.
Yes.
He's just an example. So you eat a piece of chocolate cake and you're in like nirvana, right? Then you have another piece of chocolate cake. Not so great.
Yeah.
By the third chocolate cake piece, you're like, this is gross,
yes.
Right? So that's pleasure. That's not happiness. Same with a really good song. You can love a good song. You just listen to it over and over and over again. By the time you've heard it the 50th time, I hate this song. I'm never going to listen to it
again. After a while.
Yeah.
That's right.
So,
well, it's about, small doses.
Yeah. So it's about the deep ocean of happiness, right? Surround yourself with things that make you happy. Make sure that your comfort and contentment are critically, you know, like high on your list, and then you won't find the need for external sources to
And whether you recognize it or not, ultimately that's what you're trying to achieve.
Well, we are, because that we're human beings. It's happiness is what keeps us evolving.
Yeah,
right. Happiness is what keeps us reproducing. So,
and we're engineered for it.
So, yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
And why else would there be dopamine?
I don't know.
Right. If it wasn't something that we strived for.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all part of our physiology.
Yes.
That's a tough word.
Physiology. Well, and that's the other thing, too, about healing, about the arts and healing and happiness, is that they, before a lot of the physical research was done, it was kind of assumed that it was in your head, right? The distraction, the keeping your mind off your illness by making art, right? They just thought it was a just a mental game. But really, there's a lot of... physical results that you can see from art, music, and writing when you're dealing with chronic illness.
Yeah, and then if they do brain scans and they can see how it the more parts of your brain you engaged, the healthier.
Yeah, and your whole body. They can scan and see the stress levels, right? Your inflammation, joint inflammation. There was all kinds of things. It was really interesting that the reducing the stress and anxiety and creating the dopamine and the endorphins and all those things actually physically affect your body.
Right. And when you
can't
think
deny
about
it.
How powerful the arts can be in terms of helping people... embrace happiness and have successful outcomes.
Yeah.
It starts to inform all kinds of things.
Yeah.
How you design a transit system, how you design a sidewalk, how you design public space, what things you put in parks, how much money you spend on trails, right? As opposed to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And think of it always as wellness. Don't think of it as momentary spurts of pleasure.
No.
Wellness.
Exactly.
Well-being.
How you sign parks, how you sign anything, really, right? And so, again, on these TED Talks, there's so many examples of sort of random things that artists have done to sort, you know, just kind of nudge people towards happiness. And that one designer from Austria who... pointed out the example of his graphic designer friend in New York City who with 20 of his friends would go and change all the subway signs.
Yeah, I love those.
To things like don't give up and you know.
And the little black figure man, right? Mm-hmm. In those certain positions.
Yeah, instead of like, all the safety notices.
Yeah, that's right, because there's a little circle and a line through
a
little
happy.
Guy holding the doors open that says don't hold the doors open.
Yeah.
They changed it to a guy standing there like with his hands up in the air saying, don't give up.
Don't give up.
Yeah. Yeah. Just keep going.
Exactly.
Or, I mean, just, and because he said that nobody looks at those signs anyway, that there's surprise, which is another whole level of happiness when you're surprised, when you're delighted, right? So, yeah, I love that project too. I love the one that he's the little figure guy is sitting on the subway bench and he's got his head in his hands and it says, do not despair on the subway.
Do not despair. That's right.
Yeah.
And then the other one he did was they put air bubbles. We like to
Too. Speech
bubbles on different posters and stuff.
And let people fill them out.
Fill them in, yeah.
So you've got
so funny.
Multiple levels of engagement there because the act of sticking it there and then the act of somebody writing something. Mm-hmm. And he said he's so amazed by the writing talents of so many random people.
Yeah, and that's really about feeling connected in some way to the landscape.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And now...
As the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
We're back. The dramatic moment time.
Yes.
We're having fun live on location.
Yes.
This is a whole different experience.
It really is.
I mean, Eric is going crazy over here with the new system. Mm-hmm. It's a totally different system than what's in the studio, the suitcase, the 80-pound suitcase. So he's clicking and rolling and turning knobs and doing his best. And Jeanette is back at the studio trying to make it all work and
That's
go on
right.
the air. So it's kind of,
yay, Jeanette. Collaboration makes me happy. Yeah, thanks.
Oh,
thanks
Jeanette makes us happy. Yeah. She's such a knowledgeable person.
Thank
goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What time did you start today?
Oh, we got up at 6.
6.
And we were here by 7:30.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But that's because Trevor and Brent said they were going to be here at 7:30, and they rolled in at like 9 minutes to 8.
Is that right?
Yeah. We were freaking out.
Freaking
I don't
out.
Know how to do this.
Ah.
Yeah. Anyway, dramatic moment.
It all worked out, right?
It all worked out.
Yeah,
so we chose positivity.
Dramatic moment. There you go.
Yeah.
It will all work out.
Yeah.
And no actually, puppies will die.
Well, you see, this is the thing. You taught me that years ago.
Yeah.
No puppies will die. Mm-hmm. And I just think about that. Well, what's the worst that can happen, right? Jeanette's at the studio. She's, you know, sticking some classical music on if nothing happens, so we're good,
it's fine.
Yeah.
So speaking of dramatic moments, and probably the dean of culture and arts, and well, this is, I mean, we could argue this, but Shakespeare. So we all have this kind of vision in our head of what he must have looked like.
I know.
Well, I mean, he was a master humorist, he was a singer, you know, like he was a songwriter, he was a playwriter, he was all kinds of things, right?
Yeah, he was.
And so we all have this picture of what he looked like in our head, and we've kind of made it up.
Yeah.
Because there hasn't really
There's been pictures, like little paintings or drawings of him, but we were never sure.
No.
That was him.
Now, apparently, we might actually know what he looked like. And they found an illustration of Shakespeare in a gardening book or something of the 1600s.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he has a mustache and he looks very young. He's quite the hairdo. It doesn't look at all like the...
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I want to see.
Okay, I'll show you. It's right here. See? Doesn't he has a handsome fellow.
Oh, that totally does not
totally
look like I thought he would
does
look.
Does not look like the Baird or the Bard,
the Bard
or whatever we
the
call
Bard.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
That is
so
interesting.
So you never know what you're going to find.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, see, now our studio audience wants to come and see.
See.
Everybody come see. I know he's a handsome devil,
yes.
isn't he?
Yes. It's probably, and I bet she was happy because I don't think he could have done all that
you
work.
You can't be that like
productive.
Passionate and and productive exactly without choosing
happy.
Positivity
mm-hmm.
and having the happiness well inside of him filled all
exactly.
the time.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just thought that was kind of
that
after
is
all this time.
Yeah.
400 years.
Well, it's been. I thought. Oh yeah. I guess 400 years was the anniversary of.
Yeah.
Something.
So it was in some sort of journal from the 1600s. And boom, there he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they. I'm sure they'll try and authenticate it and it'll be all dramatic, trying to figure out if it's true or false. But you know what? I'm going to believe it.
I'm choosing to go with it. Yeah.
Yes.
Why not, right? Anyway, okay, so before we get to some local events that make us happy, I want to go to your blog.
Okay.
Because you, I won't say why you're choosing 50 things this year. Just saying. You've got a lot of 50 things.
50
reasons.
Lists of 50.
Yeah, lists of 50.
Yeah, there's no secret. There's, I'm 50 this year.
I know.
It's how I'm
It's very exciting.
Working it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny how middle age starts at 60 now that we're
Is that right?
this age.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Remember when we were 20, it started at 40. Now it starts at 60.
So 60 is the new 40?
60 is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 50 is the new 25?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going with that. So I read your list of 50 things that make you happy.
Yeah.
And I really loved it because you have a great talent for recognizing the simple things.
Aww.
And even things like the color orange.
Yes.
I love that, that makes you happy. Both the color and the fruit.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's I actually made a list too.
Oh, good, okay.
And I just, not that I'm, you know, harping on this, but I do love the latte experience.
Oh, there you go. And so that's on your...
It's on my list, yes. My morning latte, because my husband gets up first and yes. He makes the morning latte. That brings me such happiness
yes.
to come out and there's my warm
Yay.
Mug. I don't know, maybe it could
no,
be filled
ritual's
with anything
important.
Warm. But
absolutely.
Yes, and so that is a happiness moment. Of course, when I come home from work and if my kids are home, they will come to the door and they'll go, Mommy!
Mommy!
And they give me a hug.
Aww.
And they still do it, even Aww. Though they're teenagers.
Yeah,
and,
lovely.
And they've been doing it since they were little tiny things. So that brings me happiness mm-hmm. every day.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the Saturday Globe and Mail.
Yes, that's on my list too.
That's on your list.
Yeah.
And the crossword puzzle,
yeah.
the Saturday crossword. That makes me extremely happy.
That's good.
In fact, I really enjoy the idea of going to bed early on Saturdays just so I can get at the crossword puzzle.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, wow. Yay, I get to do the crossword puzzle.
Wow, that is happiness.
I know.
It's like, you know what my favorite thing is when you go to bed and you're still looking forward to the next day, you can't wait to fall asleep.
Oh,
do you ever have
exciting.
Those days?
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
I often have those days.
Yeah, and then you're kind of...
I can't wait to wake up tomorrow. Yeah. I'm so excited.
Like when you're going on a trip or
yeah.
something? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because travel is one of those things, like going somewhere
yeah,
new.
Yeah, or just finishing a project or
yeah.
or something like this today happening, you know, I'm
yeah.
so excited.
Yeah.
That's when I know I'm really happy is when I'm like, hurry up, fall asleep, fall asleep, fall asleep.
And then you can't.
I know,
you're
and
like,
then you can't.
Fall
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the things from my list too is this lake.
Mm.
I love looking at this lake.
Mm-hmm.
I love like the different times of day and how the sun dances off of it. I love swimming in this lake.
It is pretty
spectacular. Just is so energetic.
Yes.
It has something special.
It does.
We are very fortunate to live right on this lake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what brought me here is that view of that lake.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I was dry when I first moved here. We stopped in Golden. Like we crossed the border, stopped in Golden, and I phoned my friends and said, oh my goodness, I made the worst mistake of my life. This is, see here, it's August, it's winter, there are no trees, I'm frozen. It's ridiculous, what have I done? just keep going, they said. So then the next day we came through Salmonar,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, oh, now this I could handle.
Yeah.
And then we kept going.
Yeah.
And went to Victoria and then Vancouver.
Right.
So it was a while before I got back here. But this is the first place in BC I'm like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'd never been before.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what to think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pretty tidy little pocket here.
Yeah. And if you from back east, you're not really used to, can't see the sky.
Yeah. Or, I know you're used to being able to see the weather coming
yeah.
for 2 days.
Or the idea that they're above the tree line.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what? Is that even possible?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so.
Okay. What are some of your other...
Oh, let's see. I love waving at other cars on the way to work.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't do that in the city.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, because you recognize a lot of the people
yeah.
In the cars.
I really like double Dutch.
Like the skipping?
Skipping. It's hard to find a skipping rope. I taught my nieces how to double Dutch.
Yeah.
They've never heard of it before.
What?
And then we went out and tried to find skipping ropes. We couldn't find any. So eventually we just went to Canadian Tire, bought some rope.
Oh.
And taught the girls and the boys how to double Dutch.
Yeah.
She's pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that made me happy.
Yeah.
I think, you know, recess and
that used to be
going
when
out.
Everybody
and
did
it was
at
like,
recess.
I can't wait to get out there and...
And skip.
Do some double Dutch.
Well, why isn't it happening still?
I don't know.
A lost art.
I don't know. It is a lost art. We should take it up. Maybe we'll do some double Dutch.
Maybe that's
front.
What we can do here.
And
in the
it's
gallery.
So good for you. Yeah, I love kitchen gadgets.
Oh yeah,
they make me happy.
Like the crepe flipper.
Yes. Yeah.
Because after you bought yours,
oh,
I bought one.
You
too.
Bought one.
It's awesome.
Yes, I love the kitchen.
You're right.
Gadgets.
The crepe flipper makes me happy.
Yes, because simple, well-designed things yes. make your life easier.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
I have lots of kitchen gadgets, and not the stuff like Ronco. You know, it slices, it dices, it makes julienne fries. Just little things like a mushroom brush, or
yeah,
right. I have a little. It makes me happy to make something from scratch because I'm cheap and I make everything from scratch. And then I have this little grease pen, and I. Put the sauce in the special bottle and I write on it, barbecue sauce, May, you know, so that I know.
Yeah.
That stuff like that makes me happy.
Yeah.
I love spices. I love Pez dispensers. I like colorful socks. Most music from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I love walking on gravel driveways.
What?
I know. Bizarre. But you know what? When I really think about it, it's because when I moved to North Bay it was our first house, and we didn't have a not cement, but asphalt.
Mm-hmm.
It's another funny word.
I know.
Driveway, we had a gravel driveway.
Yeah.
And so every time I hear footsteps, it was someone coming to the door, and that would make me happy.
Oh.
Like my dad's home or my mom's home, yeah, or my yeah. friends are coming over.
So it's the crunch, crunch, crunch.
Yeah, the crunch, crunch, crunch.
Neat.
So, yeah, I guess all kinds of things.
Yeah. So one of the other things that really make me happy is when I'm not in the room, my kids are in another room and I can hear them talking and laughing.
Oh, yeah.
There's something about that that makes me happy. Like they're allowed to have fun without me.
Yes. Yeah, but it's fun to,
yeah. I know. Do you know what is the double happiness, though?
Oh,
double is when they're doing that in French.
Oh, bravo. Yeah, that would never happen at my house.
Oh, my gosh. No. I love it. Because I ask them sometimes, like, okay, if you guys really want to keep secrets from Dad and I, it's really easy.
Yeah, I guess at our house, French. That doesn't really work.
No, it doesn't. No. Really, so they've got motivation, my kids do.
Well, we have a seriously out-of-tune piano, and every time we have a barbecue and a bunch of kids are over, they all go in there and they just smash on the piano and sing, and I'm like, I love it. I mean, it's painful to listen to, but they're so happy. They're like, Auntie Lou, listen, I wrote you a song.
That is amazing.
Yeah, or they draw pictures and put them on the fridge.
Yes, fridge art. Oh, fridge art is happiness.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I know. I remember when we were selling our place and we had to actually stage it, we had to take the art off the fridge.
Yes.
Yeah, that was really tragic.
But it made it to the new house.
Yes. Well, except
and someone else's
now,
art will go on the fridge.
They don't make fridge art anymore. Now they make actual magnets
out
of their sort of fandom things.
Wow.
So I've got like Doctor Who on my fridge.
Cool.
Sherlock Holmes.
Oh.
And, yeah.
Well, that makes
like
me happy.
Benedict Cumberbatch Sherlock Holmes, not the traditional.
Okay. So you are much more versed in that topic than I am.
Well,
I'm sure that I'll get there.
You'll get there. Yes. Trust me. Oh my gosh. Anyway, and you know,
So
the other thing too that makes me happy is somebody else makes supper.
Oh,
is that not just happiness defined?
Mm-hmm.
You get somebody saying, "Okay, supper's ready."
Yeah.
And you sit down and eat.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
It's pretty amazing.
I love that.
Yeah.
A happy moment.
Or if someone makes me a cup of tea. Or a latte. That made me happy. Thank
you
for that. But you know what else makes us happy is all the arts events happening in the shoe shop.
Oh, we're so fortunate. We've got a huge list of things. And of course, even though we're gearing up for summertime here, we've got, still a lot of things that are still happening. Like the Film Society season is still going. They've got films right up till the end of May, or even beginning of June. That's right. So even though it's warm out, you know, you still have days.
Oh, air-conditioned comfort. Hello.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah.
And it's a gathering opportunity. Mm-hmm. So you can check their website, shoesopfilm.net, for their schedule. Of course, this exhibition on until May 30th. And one of our studio audience just pointed out the speech bubbles that we have on our pillars that are painted with chalkboard paint so that you can write your own comments about the show, which is fun. And we're tweeting that at Because Art, hashtag Because Art. And this show's on until May 30th. You can come into the gallery Tuesday to Saturday, 11 till 4. And if you come in on Saturday with kids who make you happy, you can make something because we have an awesome education programmer, Nikki Weber, who makes really cool
projects. And it makes them happy.
Projects. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's lots of things coming up. I want to just point people to our website because the participate page on our website lists everything by date, and you can just plan your happiness with that. So www.salmonarmartcenter.ca, or you can like us on Facebook, Salmon Arm Arts Center.
Absolutely.
You get tidbits there.
And I don't think we should end the show without saying that our listeners make us happy.
Yes.
Especially our listeners who come to visit us live on location.
Yeah.
And people who support community radio make us happy. And people who volunteer for community radio, because telling stories to one another is what connects us. And ultimately, that's why we're here.
Yes. So. And the volunteer thing is an important aspect to point out because giving makes you happy.
Yes.
And so not just giving things, but giving your time, giving your talent, giving your energy and expertise is all gifting, and it makes you happy. It fills you up. The more you give away, the more it fills you up.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
That was exciting.
It sure was.
And because we're on location, live at Salmon and Mark Gallery, I don't know what time it is.
It's it's 1 minute from...
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks for listening today.
All right.
See you next time on Artscape.
That's right. And be happy.